Again, good morning, Calvary Chapel veterans. We're glad that you are here today. And why are you here? You're here to study the inerrant, infallible word of the living. All right, that's why we're here. We're in Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, the believer in government. Now, there's lots of feelings about the government. We're going to give you the biblical feelings about the government. And how you deal with those feelings is between you and your Creator. But there's plenty here for people to be irritated at. So just be gentle. And the ladies went to a retreat at Maranatha, and the theme was grace, grace, grace. If you have any problem with somebody, just grace, grace, grace. Well, I'm asking you to do that for me today. Grace, grace, grace for me. So Romans 13, 1 through 7, please stand as we read the Word of God together. We honor God by standing when we read His Word. The believer in government. Starting in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This is the word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for the time that you've allowed us to spend in this word. And Lord, I know this is a touchy subject, for we have experience things in our country that are changing, and government here is changing, and prosecutors are changing, and governors are changing, and mayors are changing. And how do we respond to all of this change? Well, Lord, please speak to our hearts today. We're here to represent you, not our own feelings. So may we be people of the book, hear your instruction to us, and carry out these instructions as we engage our culture. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The theme of Romans is the just shall live by faith. Now, it is broken down into six areas, which I did not say last week, but we will say this week. You'll say it with me. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and so long. That's right. We're in the service section today. The service section has all to do with what the transformed mind does with their lives. Not being conformed to this world, remember 12:2, Romans 12:2, but be conformed, not to be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, the metamorpho of your mind, the change from inside out that occurs when someone places their faith in Jesus Christ. It changes our whole perspective. The believer now is to engage the world with an attitude of love and kindness and gentleness. He starts out chapter 13 with that. And then he transitions into believer using spiritual gifts within the body. And within the body, everyone has received a spiritual gift. They're to use their spiritual gift within the body to encourage, to edify, to build up the body of Christ. We all have a part, and united, we are stronger. United, when everyone's using their gifts, we are stronger and stronger and stronger and can overcome. Remember, your gift is to encourage someone else. And then everyone else's gifts are there to encourage you. So it's great how it works. You get a whole lot of stuff for giving a very little. Everybody's encouraging. You encourage others. Then we talked about the believer in relationship to a world, to the evil world. And this evil world that we're dealing in, the believer is to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we took our scripture from Philippians 1:27, and it says very specifically, whatever happens in your life, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And remember that conduct was telling us to conduct ourselves as a kingdom dweller, not as an earth dweller. So then we respond differently to the world around us because we're representing a king who is greater than anything here, and we are his representative here, his ambassador here. So how does that affect us? Well, the Jesus way we learned was repay no one evil for evil. Now, that's hard to do. We talked about that. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And then we are told not to avenge ourselves, not to take vengeance, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, these things are impossible to do unless we're dwelling in Christ, making our home in Christ. This is a spirit thing, not a natural human thing. The natural human thing is, you do this to me, I do this to you, only a little bit harder. Okay, but that's not the God way. God's way is that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We are to overcome evil with good. We are other kingdom people. We're representing a king from another kingdom. This week, we're going to talk about the believer must submit themselves to government. You heard this right. We are to do what the government says unless. Oh, you know what the unless says. The government tells us to do something that is counter to the word of God or counter to the precepts of God. And the question is, will I obey the government when something untoward happens and they demand that I don't follow the precepts of God? Or will I obey God? Will I obey Caesar or will I obey God? Well, folks, that remains to be seen. We haven't been challenged here in this country specifically to that point. But throughout the world there, and you have to determine, who is your king? Who will you bow to? Who will you honor? Who will you be loyal to? It starts out in verse 1 and 2. And in this whole section, every one of these sections, are the believer has to be subject to government. Every one of these things, it's emphasizing that. So verse 1 and 2, he starts out, let every soul, now every means how many? Every means every, it's not a mystery. Soul must be subject under submission to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed, ordained by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance or the orders of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So, I don't know about you, but it's a little uneasy for me to do this talk. I would not do this talk if it wasn't the next thing in line to talk about. That's the problem with line upon line teaching. You have to do the whole thing. Well, we're in the section that is uncomfortable. You're not going to hear the pep talks in most churches talking about the government. They'll avoid this like the plague. We can't, because we take it in sequence, and God wants us to know this. But we have to realize the government generally are there for our good, but there are evil people in the government. There are just fleshly people in the government. So what happens is you have the government enforcing what I have called for a long time world think, world wisdom, world values, world rules. Now, I want you to consider something. Paul is writing this in a context of Rome being in charge. And I don't know if you remember or not, but at the time of Paul, it was Nero who was in charge. That guy had a long name, Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus. Boy, he was great. He was wonderful. Came into power at age 16, died at age 31. One of the things that he did, because he didn't like his mother trying to usurp some sort of authority over the 16-year-old, he had his mother Agrippina killed. In 64 AD, he is noted for this. There was a fire in Rome, destroyed much of the city. He was taking the blame. The supposition was is that he wanted his architectural projects to take place, and he wanted to burn down these areas so his dream could take place in Rome. Now, that's conjecture. History is not actually confirming that, but many people feel that. But what is not conjecture and what history does say is the following. After the burning of Rome, he blamed the Christians. There's always a scapegoat, fingers going all over. It's your fault, your fault. He blamed the Christians. They were an easy target. And he arrested them, tortured them, executed them, and there was a wave of martyrdoms. And it wasn't just killing them in some civil manner. He put them in the Colosseum, or what's called the Roman Circus, and he had the lions come out and eat them. He strung them up on the road, the Roman roads, and lit them on fire. He had them crucified to emulate the Savior. He was abjectly evil. He wanted entertainment. It was into this world that Paul makes these statements. Let every soul be subject to governing authorities. God to you, and I do not believe God is stuttering with this, he expects us to be subject to government as the people of God. And he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God to you, be subject, hupotasso, to place under authority. And this is not a suggestion, it is a command, it is an imperative in the Greek. There's no way to get around this. It's a present imperative, meaning it's a present tense. We are to continually be law abiders, continue to obey the law. It's a lifestyle of obeying the laws of the land. Governmental authority is from God, appointed by God. Remember, Jesus did not come to overthrow Rome. He came to seek and to save the lost and prepare a people for a coming government and a coming kingdom that will reign for 1,000 years. 1 Peter 2:13 has this to say. He's in concert with Paul. Submit yourself. This is a voluntary, this is volitional submission to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We represent Christ. Whether to the king supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. God is consistent. He tells Paul one thing and he tells Peter the same thing. We are to submit to government. Now, I want you to understand something. This is an important, important concept. God establishes authorities. God sets up rulers. Now, look, there's a lot of evil rulers out there, but we have to take the word of God for what it says. Daniel 4:17, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, great king, one of the greatest kings in the history of the world. He's the head of gold on Daniel's statue. He's the one that had the greatest power and authority. He was the creme de la creme of rulers, and he was anti-God, and he had hubris and arrogance. And he felt that he did all of the things, and God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, and for 7 years, he grazed in the field like a cow and grazed and lost his mind. And when his mind was given back to him, Nebuchadnezzar says this, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. It's not Nebuchadnezzar. He gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. Nebuchadnezzar now realizes who he is in comparison to the holy God. This powerful man now says, I'm the lowest of men. I am simply a human. God reigns. Acts 17:26 says this, and he, God, has made from one blood, it goes all the way back to Adam, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And he determines their appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. God establishes nations. God establishes rulers. God is in charge. So there's a warning that we receive to citizens as citizens of this world. If one resists governmental authority, God will bring judgment. The government will bring judgment. Civil and divine judgment awaits the person that rebels against the ruling powers. God has ordained government to deal with lawlessness and to restrain evil. Let me say that again. God has ordained governments, even the crummy governments throughout this world, to resist evil and put down lawlessness. Now, I don't know how you feel about flash mobs. You know, running in the stores, just taking everything that you want. I don't know how you feel about that. Or the chaos in the streets, calling these peaceful protesters, protest. I'm uneasy with prosecutors who won't prosecute, governors who won't legislate, mayors who've turned a blind eye. I'm uneasy with that. Fallen humans, folks, must have a restraining force to stop evil, and government is supposed to do this. that we have many places where they're not carrying out their assignment, but the government is to do this. Now, I don't know how you feel about watching things on TV, the loss of law and order, people murdering with impunity and then getting off. This is disturbing to my spirit. With impunity means no consequences, no results. They just get off. I don't know how you feel about society stealing with impunity, abusing with impunity, exploiting others, sex trafficking, which is really huge in this country, all kinds of evil with impunity, and government isn't dealing with it. I don't know how you feel about that. It's distressing to me. It is distressing to me. And let's be honest, some governments are more evil than other governments. And by the way, I believe they're all evil to some degree because they're humans. There will not be a perfect government until who comes back? Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, church. Yes, you got it right. That's an A for you guys on the first question. Jesus is the... There's not going to be any righteous government here until the king comes and establishes law and order and righteousness. It'll be the perfect government. Unrestrained evil must be dealt with. God uses human government at the human level as the restrainer to evil in this world. Even bad governments are better than no government at all. We are to submit to government rule, government, unless the government mandates we do something counter to Scripture, counter to godly principles. Then we cannot obey the government. Then we have to take a stand. Until then, we might not like what they do, but we have to be in submission to the government. Let's go on. He continues this same theme. The government is God appointed for good. Verses 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, obey the law, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister or servant, that's the government, is God's minister or servant to you for good. But if you do evil, oh boy, you're going to bear the cost. Be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Now, are you sure, Rick, are you sure, Pastor Rick, that the government is appointed for good? And I say yes because of what the Scripture says. The government has a responsibility to act in a good way towards its people. As previously stated, governments do restrain evil. Fallen humanity requires a restrainer at the human level, and I believe that's government. At a spiritual level, we know it's the Holy Spirit-filled church, impacts the world, and that sort of thing. Another subject for another time. But government is used as a restrainer by God. So, in general, governments are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Notice I qualified in general. Generally, do what is good, and the government will not bother you, generally speaking. From evil government leaders, even evil government leaders don't want the chaos. They don't want the mess. They don't want to live in their jurisdiction with messes. And if you notice, many governors are behind gated communities and allow the lawlessness to occur out in the streets. Kind of strange, isn't it? In verse 4, it says this, he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. I want to emphasize a few things in that verse. Bear the sword. Did you catch it? Bear the sword. What is the sword used for? It's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's a death weapon. It's a weapon, so it's very significant. It's a death instrument used, if necessary, to quell the violence. Did you catch it? Government is God's minister, God's servant for good, to counter the evil. This is God's design. And how about this one? I hope you caught this one. An avenger to execute wrath. Let's develop that a little bit. The government serves as the kinsman avenger, so to speak. I don't know if you remember what the kinsman avenger is, but it's the oldest in a family that had a responsibility to avenge the murder or death of someone in the family. The government acts in that manner. In the extreme, God has ordained capital punishment as a deterrent to evil. All kinds of feelings on capital punishment just permeate the group. People have different feelings about this. But there's not a question mark how God feels about it. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. In God's eyes, murder, premeditated murder in particular, warrants the death penalty because you've murdered an image bearer of God. An image bearer of God. So, we've went through this verse in the past. It's Proverbs 6:16-19. Six things God hates. Seven is an abomination to him. One of those six things is hands that shed innocent blood. Toiva, an abomination to God, morally disgusting to God, despicable to God, toiva, and not taken lightly by God. Now, I want to share something with you from Middletown Bible Church on capital punishment. They do a great job with this. They ask a question. Is capital punishment cruel and inhumane? They respond to their own postulated question. Quote, death is usually not pleasant to witness, and certainly those responsible for putting a criminal to death do not have an enviable task. Nevertheless, we need to be careful that we do not focus on the criminal and forget about the victim of the crime. Cold-blooded murder is very cruel and inhumane. Forcible rape is very cruel and inhumane. Hijacking an airplane is, guess what? Very cruel and inhumane. Pushing life-destroying drugs, very cruel and inhumane. In our zeal to protect the criminal, we can lose sight of the terribleness of the crime. Regardless of a person's position on capital punishment, all would have to agree that if a murderer is put to death, he will never murder again. Then they make this comment. So if you zoned out for the rest of it, zone back in for this part. It is remarkable that those who decry capital punishment as being cruel and inhumane method of destroying people's lives are often, this is so ironic, often the same people who strongly favor abortion rights, killing the baby. It is astounding. I might add to this, they will save the seals, kill the baby. Save the whale, kill the baby. Save the puppy, kill the baby. That happens often in our culture. It's madness. It's madness. The last sentence from Middletown is this. Why does a guilty murderer have a greater right to life than an unborn child? That's a great question. Listen, I want to share with you, you've heard this verse before, but it's very germane to our discussion here. When a society turns from God, like ours has, like Israel did in the Old Testament, like the nation of Israel, God says, this is the result. It's Deuteronomy 28:28. It's the blessings and curses portion of Deuteronomy. And he says this, straight up, I will strike you, Israel, I will strike you, anybody or any government that turns away from me, with madness, blindness, and confusion of heart. And I ask you this, do you see this in America today? That's the question. That's the question. That's a good answer right there. Yes, that was unequivocal. We see this. A society who turns from God will call evil good and good evil. You know our go-to verse? We went here before. Isaiah 5:20-21. Woe. Now, when God says woe, it's not like you're writing in trigger. Whoa, trigger. No, when he goes woe, that means be careful, stand back, ears open, hear this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, who are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe to those governments. Woe to those people who call good evil and evil good. Woe. This is from God to us. God to us. He does not wink at this. He does not wink at humanity making these decisions. He does not. Isaiah 59, 14 and 15 is a great verse. Justice is turned back. Righteousness is afar off in the streets. Equity cannot enter, so truth falls. He who departs from evil becomes prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased the Lord that there was no justice. God is into law and order and justice. When the culture turns from this, folks, that's blindness, madness, and confusion of heart. With this stated, God has ordained government to combat evil, disorder in our fallen world. Without government, Antifa reigns. Now, everybody, hopefully you know who Antifa is. It's those people that are instigating peaceful protests in the streets. Yes. Chaos reigns. Society implodes. Now, I have a couple slides here. There's three of them that I just wanted to show you. Here's some peaceful protesters with a communist flag. Indoctrinated folks who just believe communism is the cat's meow. We'll talk about that more in just a second. How about this next one? Do you see a peaceful protester? This is what the television pundits call peaceful protest. Destroying cars, dropping huge boulders on police cars. Peaceful protest. Madness. Blindness. Confusion of hearts. How about the last one? Yes, that's a building on fire, but it's mostly a peaceful riot. Isn't that astounding? Peaceful. These are lies, folks. Lies that are coming at you to indoctrinate you to their way of thinking. Be very careful. Hear what the psalmist says in Psalm 33:5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. Just that simple. This other stuff, madness, confusion, blindness, the whole thing. Hearts that are messed up. When a government decides that they will not enforce certain laws because these laws go against elected officials' ideology, chaos ensues and society breaks down. Now, what is happening today, and I'm sorry this is a political talk here, which disturbs some people, but I think it's important. We're living in this. The progressives want socialism and communism to come to the forefront. And they're manipulating what's going on in your streets to facilitate that. Equal distribution of assets sounds great. Everybody's sharing, one for all for one. That sounds great. The problem is humanity. Humanity is the problem. This attitude sells on campuses. It sells for those who do not critically think. It sells to those who don't look at history and see what's happened in the world under these governments to billions of people. Literally millions of people have been sacrificed on the altar of communism. Think about this. Proverbs 14, 15. The simple, it's the pithy fool, a pithy in Hebrew. It's the naive, the silly, the immature person believe every word that their professor tells them in class. But the prudent, the wise, consider well their steps. Oh, be prudent. Consider what is being said. Examine what is being said. Place it in line with Scripture, what is being said. Because the culture is being brainwashed into believing lies, folks. Don't believe what is being pumped into you. Depraved humanity, listen to this, depraved humanity will work for itself, not for the interest of the collective. It works for itself. When communism, everything goes, you want a house built? That's going to take you a lot of time because I don't want to work real hard because I'm going to put these bricks up. Boop. Oh, I need another brick. You know, capitalism, brick. Brick, brick. I mean, you're moving because you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid for what you do. Self-interest. Communists rule, folks, by brute force and intimidation. Freedom is sacrificed for the collective. A few determines the values of the many. Because humanity is depraved, people are exploited, and people suffer. And when you go to communist countries, you do not see happy, 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 content people. You do not. Communism is authoritarian rule, and people suffer. One party determines the values of the majority. Economic problems. Centralized planning leads to government inefficiency, shortages, and stagnation. People suffer. Communism offers restricted freedom of speech, religion, and assembly. People suffer. Communism is a legacy of distrust. You know what happens under communist societies? Surveillance. China has the greatest surveillance society in the world. Everyone is surveyed. And folks, be careful with your phones, be careful with your TVs, be careful with all the technology, because I'm not a conspiracy person to the nines, but I believe this is happening. Someone is watching you. Someone is watching you. Be very careful. Don't trust. Careful, America. I would warn, be careful, America. Guard your freedom. I don't know how many of you have this. Alexa. Alexa, play this music. Alexa's telling on you. Alexa says everything you say, anti-government, anti-anything, that's going someplace, folks. Be careful. I guess I've said enough, so. We had a taste of a loss of freedom, just a taste, a thimble of loss of freedom in the pandemic. Force compliance or else. Force immunizations or else. That's how this functions in this communist society. Force closures of selected businesses or else. Force compliance with distancings and gatherings or else. Folks, this is evil. Governors acting as tyrannical kings. You don't go anyplace, but I'm a king. I can go wherever I want. You don't go to restaurants. I can go to restaurants. That's how this whole thing works. Totalitarians want full control. They know what is best for you. Submission to the state, complete submission to the state. Did you feel weird? I don't know. That was a weird time. 2020, roads are, nobody's on the roads. Nobody's going to the stores. You're kind of sequestered in your house. Depression is rising. Alcohol and drug use rising. Government controlling everything, controlling the narrative. Even the narrative was controlled. You couldn't have any conflict. This was a picture of how people live in the rest of this world. That's what they want to enforce on you. All controlled. This was a taste of evil, a taste of evil. My perspective is this, folks. Treasure your freedom. Treasure your freedom. God is free. You have been made in the image of God. You have been created free. And that's why it's so distasteful for you when your freedom is taken from you. So resist totalitarianism. Resist socialism in all its forms. That's my view. Now, maybe you don't share that. I love you anyway. I just don't agree with you. Stand for the truth. And by all means, vote. Vote, church. Vote, men and women of God. Vote. Live free. Vote for the person that best represents your biblical values. In summary, the government is good and beneficial to society and absolutely necessary for order. We are to obey the government, but not if they tell us to do something contrary to God. Humanity needs the restrainer. Now, I know this is unsettling for some folks, but it's where I think we are, and I have to share it with you. In verses 5 through 7, you're responsible to government, God says. Verse 5, therefore, you must be subject. This is not equivocal. Again, it's another command. Not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Did you hear that? You have to pay your taxes. This is something we are to do. For they are God's ministers, servants, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we obey government because of wrath. You break the law, you get punished. And also we have a conscience. What is a conscience? That's our conscience is God-given to help us to do right and to flee wrong. Everybody has a conscience. Everyone knows right from wrong. Remember, conscience. Con with shunts knowledge. With knowledge, we know intuitively, God has put this in you, right from wrong. As a matter of fact, we know humans know right from wrong because he's written his law on the hearts of every human, Romans 2:15. We know we are responsible for God to do what is right. So because of conscience, I must pay my federal taxes. Now look at it. Use every deduction you possibly can. That's legal. But pay your taxes. We have to. Because of conscience, I obey the laws of the land that are not in conflict with God's word. I pay whatever customs are due, tax on goods. You have to pay it. Because of conscience, I am to, I am to respect those in authority. Now look, there's a lot of guys that had rank when I was in the military that I did not respect. But they had a rank that I had to respect. You must respect the authority. I might not like those in authority, but I am to give honor to them. And I would say this, calling names is a no-no. Degrading remarks about people that don't agree with you is a no-no. You can say you don't agree, but degrading them is something that we should not do as the people of God. That was weak. Now, that would be a time for if you can just muster this up, that would be nice. Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you. Yeah, okay. It does not say that I have to applaud them or I have to cheer for them, but I must be respectful to them. So I think that is important. So in closing, I want you to think about a few things. Think about a few things. How we respond to our government is a touchy subject. Everybody has a different opinion. We should overthrow. We should rebel. We should do nothing. We should lay back. It runs the gamut. Everyone has an opinion. What we do know from God's word is the following. We are citizens of another kingdom. We get our orders from our king, and we are to obey our king whether we feel like it or not. We are to obey the government. It is a restrainer to evil. Remember Philippians 1:27, which I will say at least one more time in this talk. Whatever happens, but you're going to memorize this, aren't you? Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You're a representative of Christ. So whatever happens, you conduct yourself as another kingdom follower. We cannot respond the way we want to respond. We're under the constraints of our king who gives us orders and tells us how we are to respond. So that is very important. But when not to obey the government? We are not to obey the government when the government demands that believers stop teaching the word of God or stop meeting together as the people of God, as was COVID. We cannot obey those commands. Our greatest authority is the true God, not the government God. We are in submission to government, but our overall submission is to our God. We are in submission to him over the government. Now think about this. Acts 5:27, the apostles and Peter thrown in jail for preaching the word. That's the setting. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. Now this is an intimidating situation. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, with your teaching, with your words about this Jesus thing. You filled Jerusalem with, and you tend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, This must ring from our lips, from our hearts. We ought to obey God rather than men. The slide is here. We must obey God. This is an absolute, this is not equivocal. We must obey God rather than men. When it gets down to that, folks, and the rubber meets the road, it remains to be seen how each one of us will respond. As our world changes, as America becomes more secular, you have seen a change in this country right before your eyes. It becomes more secular. We will face a time when the Word of God will be challenged more and more from pulpits. You'll be restricted either by shame or by force. Don't say certain things. This happens now in Islamic countries. You can't use your Bible in Islamic countries. In communist nations, it's filtered. You can say certain things, but not things that the government doesn't want you to say. Satan doesn't want the word to go out, folks. This will result in a clash of kingdoms, forced compliance by distorting the scriptures or not teaching portions of scripture that are offensive to the culture. And because governments say it, a lot of people will punt. Well, Romans 13 tells us we have to submit to government. It is that point where the rubber meets the road, and you have to determine, I'm in submission to my God, and He tells me I am not to do that. That's where the rubber meets the road. Will you do that or not? That remains to be seen. We can talk a good game, but when it comes, the pressure's leveraged on you, we will see who will stand. I suggest to you this. Follow those who lead in God's truth. Hebrews 13:7, great memory verse. Remember those who have led you. These are talking about elders. This is an elder, what the elders are to do in the church. But remember those who have led you. Remember those stalwart Christians that stand no matter what. Remember the ones in your lives, in my life, Chuck Swindoll, Chuck Smith, John MacArthur, people who stand for the truth. Remember those who have led you, who have spoken the word of God to you uncompromised, considering the result of their conduct. How did they walk this thing out? Did they walk this thing out compromised? Or were they walking this out as a kingdom representative? Imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. We are not to obey folks if they tell us not to preach the word. How about this one? When the government wants you to do immoral actions that it deems good. Think about Egypt and the Jews in Egypt for 400 years. And they're, God's blessing them and they're multiplying. And there's more of them, and they're afraid, the Egyptians are afraid they're going to overpopulate and overrun the Egyptian society. So what does Pharaoh and his brain trust do? Kill the baby. That's the punt position. Kill the baby. And so they tell the midwives, kill these babies. Kill these male children. Throw them in the water. Get rid of them. And they did not, because they had a greater fear of God than they had a fear. Oh, these were heroes. These women were heroes. They didn't know if they were going to be killed. They didn't know if they were going to be killed. In World War II Germany, pastors turned a blind eye to the killing of Jews. You know this. We've talked about this. In Poland, Amsterdam, people are hiding Jews. People are turning them in. And then people try to hide under Romans 13. We have to obey the government. As they're killing these Jews by the tens of thousands and millions, hiding under Romans 13 will not absolve you of guilt. When the government is contrary to God's word, we must obey God rather than men. In this case, you must be willing to face the consequences. Going to jail, being beaten like the apostles were, or even death like the apostles experienced. So my encouragement to you, as brothers and sisters of Christ today, in the world that we're living in, stand, brothers and sisters. Dig in your heels and stand. Stand for the truth and stand for your King. What is truth? Truth is what God presents in His Word. That is truth. So watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love. If we are to resist the government, we are to do it in love. We're not coming out guns blazing. That's not how Jesus did it. That is not how the disciples did it. You have to stand and be ready to bear the consequences. I want to give you a caution. Some people have this desire for martyrdom. Oh, I can be a martyr. Well, that's talk. When you start seeing people's heads cut off like those Coptic Christians that were lined up on that riverside. Remember, I had pictures of this a year ago or so, and they all had their heads lopped off. It's a whole different program when you see that happening and saying, oh, I can be a martyr. No, I don't think you should wish for that. So, do not seek, this is my counsel to you, do not seek martyrdom. If you can, flee persecution, flee. Lot fled Sodom and Gomorrah. David fled from King Saul. When Paul reached obstructions in a city, he would go to another city. Jesus said the following, Matthew 10:23, quote, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. The persecuted church throughout the world, and folks, the church is being persecuted like no other time. You've heard this many times. In the history of the world, today, more than any other time. Nero killed a whole bunch of them, but many, many more are being sacrificed because of their faith throughout this world today than any time in the history of the world. I've given you those statistics in the past. So, if you have to, you go underground, out of sight, and then cautiously navigate your surroundings. But you meet together. Those people are not skipping meeting together because it's a little cold, a little hot, a little this or a little that. They need one another as they are experiencing this persecution. Meet together, study the word together, encourage together, fight the good fight of faith. The whole thing is together. You're a family. Never give up together. And then as a team, you engage the culture as God opens the doors. As a spirit leads you, you talk to those people. Today, folks, we are free. Today, we are free. Don't just blast past that. Our freedom is a gift from God. We're free to meet, free to teach, free to learn, free to tell people about Jesus. The whole point of our existence is to tell people about this one who loved us so much. He came here to save us from our sins, save us to an eternity with Him, and to avoid hell and separation from Him. Folks, heaven is real. Hell is real. What you do with Jesus is essential. God so loved the world that He sacrificed His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you and wants you to be part of His family. Your freedom is a gift. I believe we in America have been given a window of opportunity. The mercy of God has one more time placed His hand on America. Because there is a true church in America. A true church that is greater than 5%. That can affect the culture. 5% salt is needed to affect the culture. Talked about that last week. A window of opportunity. However, America is fleeing God. There was a king that God raised up. God had determined to judgment on the nation of Israel. Manasseh was the straw that broke the camel's back. Manasseh set up idols in the temple. Manasseh set up high places on the hills. Manasseh was encouraging the worship of false gods. Manasseh offered children sacrificed to Molech, the god that loves to kill babies. That's what Manasseh did. And God says, you have gone too far. Judah will be judged. And then God raised up a man in His mercy. His name was Josiah, King Josiah. And for 31 years, God stayed His hand of judgment on Israel. One man, one king that stood for God. Now, we've had an election. And I want to tell you, Donald Trump is not King Josiah, in case you don't know that. He is not King Josiah. But there was a change in the free fall of morality in this nation. There was a change. We are living in a day of the falling away, the apostasy of the church, the falling away from true beliefs. The church is compromising left and right, caving to worldthink, embracing world values. Folks, this is it's come into the church world values where it encourages abortion, encourages gay marriage. These things are to'evah, an abomination to God. But yet it's been welcomed into the church. And people get a feeling, well, this is okay because everyone else thinks it's okay. Folks, it matters what God thinks, not what everyone else thinks. Very important. There's a scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly says, unmistakably says, that in the latter times, that's actually from Christ until now, but it's closer now, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Catch that. Don't miss this. Deceiving spirits are here, and things taught by demons. These are real things. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Deceiving spirits. The door has been opened in America to all the gods of this world. Islam is welcome. Hinduism is welcome. Buddhism is welcome. That wasn't how the nation was formed. It was formed on Judeo-Christian ethics. But we've opened the door to these false gods. It's impacting our people. It's impacting our nation and impacting our government. Think about this. New York City, okay, biggest city in the nation, is poised to elect a communist mayor, deceiving spirits. As the government grows more correct, Christian freedom will be affected, deceiving spirits. Look at the rest of the world. Christians are being persecuted off the charts. So Christians do, this is not on your overhead, so do the following. Stand fast in the faith and be strong together. Link arms, folks. Link arms. We need one another. Number two, speak the truth in your sphere of influence. Folks, if you're a plumber, you're a Christian plumber before you're a plumber. If you're a doctor, you're a Christian doctor before you're a doctor. You are to speak the truth. If you're a teacher, every profession, your first mission is to represent Christ. And then do your job the best that you can for your King. But tell people wherever you go about Jesus and his love. Jesus is our escape, folks. He's the only one that can save us. And remember this. Do remember this. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Hebrews 13:7. Men and women of God with Holy Spirit, rod of iron up their spine, imitate them. Imitate them. Do live all out for your King. Do tell people the love story of Jesus. Don't be inhibited. Folks, there are eternities that are at stake. There are people's literal eternities at stake. This is real. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. The consequences of rejecting God's love gift is real. God loved you so much that Jesus sacrificed, died on the cross for you, took all of your sins. The second you believe in him, God renders you clean, pure, righteous, saved. Saved. Oh, what a gift. What a gift from the King. Take action, folks. Don't withdraw. And by all means, support in voting like-minded people. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe one more time, God will bring revival to this nation. One more time, he'll lift his hand. I think he's done that. One more time, may the revival go from shore to shore. May the Holy Spirit be alive in each church. May many be born again of the Spirit of God and say, yes, I believe in you, Jesus. Yes, I trust in you, Jesus. Yes, I want to be in your family, Jesus. Yes, I want to obey you, Jesus. May we have an attitude of another kingdom believer. While we're here, we're ambassadors. And whatever you do, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And may our hearts cry out for Jesus' kingdom. You know what? If you have a desire for Jesus to come back, you get a crown. The crown of righteousness. There's five crowns that are mentioned in Scripture. The crown of righteousness is one. And if you desire for Jesus to come back and rule and reign and take over this mess, you get that crown. I can say one crown. I know I'm getting that crown because I'm looking forward to him coming back. May our hearts cry for Jesus' kingdom and Jesus' government, folks. Our battle cry is this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maranatha, church. Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus, church, our only hope. Folks, Jesus is still the answer. He is. He is the answer to our souls. He always has and always will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, do your work in each heart here. If someone here does not know you as their Savior, I pray today they say yes to Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want to believe in you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior. I receive the gift of salvation. Oh, do that right now, right where you are. I believe that you died for me and paid my sin debt. I place my trust in you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.